I just wanted, what Nala said touched me, because so many times I tried to get saved years ago. Tried to get saved, wanted to be saved, had a desire in my heart to be saved, to be something different, but I couldn't let go of yesterday. I couldn't let go of yesterday. Yesterday always had a hold on me. I'd be in the store and I'd see somebody from yesterday that I had wronged or did something to or one of those things, and it would, that guilt would start riding in me all over again. That shame would start riding in me all over again. Or I would see somebody who I really enjoyed being around, who I really enjoyed being with, and then that old sick thought come in my mind. You know, see, 'cause I was a sick man back in the day before God changed my heart. I was a sick man. And those thoughts would come in, you know, and I would think, you know what? Maybe just one more time. Maybe just one more time. And the enemy holds you hostage with your past if you allow him. It says somewhere between Genesis and Revelations. It says, therefore, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When I first joined the church, this was after I got saved. God finally delivered me, saved me, sanctified me. And I joined the church, and there was a lady in this church used to ride me every week. I'd see her. She'd be coming to me the first time, and she'd come to me smiling. She'd been around the church a long time. I'd smile, and I'd shake her hand and give her a hug. And she would tell me, well, Brother Lyle, God told me to tell you. And it was never anything good for me. After about 2 months of this, I thought God must really hate me. Because she had always wanted to beat me up with my past. She always wanted to beat me up with yesterday. And it worked for a while. And I'm talking about saved. I'm talking about saved, sanctified. And it worked. I sat there. You know, I began to think about that thing. I said, Lord, you delivered me from 25-year crack addiction. Lord, you delivered me from prison. You delivered me from the hospital bed, them EMSs in the middle of the night. You delivered me from so many things. Why is she holding me hostage? So I've seen it one day. God gave me the answer. He gave me what to tell you. I'm telling you, if you wait on him, the Holy Ghost will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. And I seen her coming. She was getting squeezing through people. Excuse me. I knew she was coming over to me. So I waited on her. And she got to me and she told me, she said, Brother Lyle, God told me to tell you. I said, hold on. God just told me to tell you, never mind. He just told us, and praise God, he told me to tell you, never mind. He changed his mind. Yeah. She looked at me and I said, hallelujah. We broke that thing up because you're not going to keep holding me hostage. Because Fort Wayne's not a big place. And I was not a baby dope fiend. I was a real live dope fiend. I was not a baby dope fiend. I was a real live dope fiend back when I was out there on those streets. And I don't think I could go 4 miles in any distance in this little town and not see some place or somebody or something that I had wronged or done something to or in or with. So I had to let that go. I'm not that man anymore. Lady asked me one time in church, she said, Brother Lyle, you done hurt so many people and done so many things. How can you act like everything is just okay? I'm talking about these mothers in the church.
Yeah.
Supposed to be saved. Still holding on. Can't get by. Can't get past it. And I looked at her and said, you know what? The word of God said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That man is dead, and I refuse to carry around a dead man's problems. I had to give that thing back. Don't let nobody keep holding you. No matter where you are in your life, you remember this. Samuel anointed David king at 17 years old. I'm glad you got your Bible. You be checking me. But he anointed him king at 17 years old. David took the throne at 30.
Yeah.
When was David the king?
17.
He was the king at 17.
Amen.
I don't care if you sat in a halfway house. I don't care if you're 2 days out of prison. If God anointed you something, use that today.
Amen.
Use that today. You're in the making of being that thing today.
Amen.
And we all get better as we learn to walk into our deliverance. We all get better. And I asked myself, see, I was a thief. See, I was one of those people on the streets. I was a dope fiend. And I didn't believe in begging. I didn't believe in getting no crumbs. And I didn't believe in sitting around waiting on you to hand me nothing. I'd get back up and I'd go back out and I would break in somewhere. I'd do something and go get what I... But when God delivered me, I was no longer a thief. See, me, I thought, okay, I'm no longer a thief, but I had to learn some things. The stealing always mean, Pam, that I went to somebody's house and took something. If the word stealing always mean I went into their store and got something. The word stealing mean I always, does it mean that? See, because I wasn't a thief, but I found out that then in some ways I was still stealing. Because the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. The same, and there's only one way to be saved. It's only one way to live saved. I was with my brother today. My brother always talking about, I'm a Muslim. I said, I know you're here. I said, because all angry, and I'm going to say this, I can say this and get away with it. I said, all angry black men in prison join the Muslims. You ever been in prison, you understand what I'm talking about. All the angry brothers. I said, you've been angry a long time. So him and I, we were talking today. He wants me to get him a job about where I'm at. The plant foreman told me, he said, the day your brother wants to come, you let me know, and I get him in that day. My little brother came. The day that my little brother said, I want to come, I told the plant foreman, he called him that day. And he said, I told my mother, brother, he said, any day you want to get him, I said, well, you know what? See, I had to learn something. I love my brother. My brother's 363 days older than me. We're not even a year apart. We wore the same clothes coming up. Slept in the same bed. That dude saved me sometime from fights and things, man, where I couldn't win. He was there for me. And I want to be there for my brother. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Not at the expense of giving away God's stuff. God made me a steward. When God makes you a steward, you got to do right by the things of God. You got to use some wisdom. And you got to always use some discernment. And my brother's not ready. My brother told me now, I go out there to work. But they got to let me go pray when it's time to pray. I said, Buster, you can pray right there yet. I said, I pray right there at my machine, Buster. I pray all the time. Well, we don't do that like that. We got to prostrate ourselves. I said, you're probably not going to find a job, Buster, that's going to allow you to do that. Well, I just won't work. I said, well, the Bible said, man, don't work. You ought not eat. As he was sitting there eating a meal I had just paid for. You know, but I wouldn't mean to go there, but what I'm saying is, I told the plant foreman, I went and picked my brother from prison. I drove up there sick. I had been sick, but Marvin, I was sick about a month at that time. I didn't know what was going on. Medication they had me on for my hand, this pain medication, Tramadol. Had my stomach all jacked up. But I rode up there in the middle of the night in the rain to get my brother after working all day. Soon as he get in the car, he started talking that foolishness. I got back to work the next day, and the foreman said, you bring his application? I said, no, he ain't ready. He ain't ready. Now, somebody might say, man, you're wrong. That's your brother. God made me a steward. He said, do not cast your pearl. He said, do not give what's holy to dogs or cast your pearl among swine. And when you say that stuff, people cringe. Ooh, how are you going to call people dogs? I didn't write the word of God. But I do my best to live by it. And so there's somebody out there that's living not that way. And you got to be careful of what you do with God. So that's not where I was going. But it says about any man entering to the gate is a thief or a liar. But he that enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he go up before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. When I first got saved, I was in prison years ago. Called myself going to get saved. This is before I got saved. But I had that old penitentiary salvation thing. And I say there's nothing wrong with getting saved in prison. I got saved the day before I went to jail. I went down there and turned myself in, and I lived saved in that penitentiary, and it's not easy living saved in prison. People say it is, but if you're really saved, you're almost by yourself. You're almost by yourself. But anyway, they had a thing. The dude came to me. The guy who was selling, one of the guys that was selling the stuff on the block told me, "Hey, man, if you want to get a minister's license, here's the address. You write this address, they'll send you a minister's license." I got that address. I wrote down there, and I got me one of them things in the mail, and I got it sticking on the side of my locker. I got the thing sticking on the side of my locker out of Modesto, California. Minister Lyle Kelso. Man, they never laid eyes on me a day in his life. They had never talked to me. They didn't know no more about me than the man in the moon. But I'm going to enter in through the back door. So I'm going to climb over the gate because I didn't think I had it in me to do it right. I thought if I could make you think I'm this, I could show you this thing, then that was just good enough. So I wanted to be a good actor. So I wasn't looking for a crown of life. I was looking for an Oscar because I wanted to be a good actor. I'm running around the penitentiary getting high. I'm running around the penitentiary stealing out the kitchen, stealing out the commissary, whatever I could be. Throwing up gang signs all through the place, running around, getting tattoos on me, running around there, hot beating on my chest and acting a fool with a minister's license on my doggone wall. Old preacher. There go the preacher. A thief and a robber. For God saved this old man one day. He saved this old man one day, and I began to walk in my salvation. See, because once I got saved, I realized how little I really knew. Because almost everything I had learned as a man in the world was wrong. Almost everything I learned was wrong. I got to repeat that. Almost everything I remember my father. It was four of us for a long time. And then it became six of us, but my father would tell us. And I love my father. He passed on. He was one of the best men I knew. And he taught us the best he knew how. And he provided for us the best he knew how. He worked at General Motors 42 years. But when one of us get in a fight, my father would tell us, "Now, when one of y'all get into it, all y'all into it. You get out there," and he would tell me, "Now, boy, when he hit the ground, you put your feet on him." And I live by that. Don't you dare let me get you to the ground, because I'm going to stomp you. Because I thought that was the right way, because my daddy said it. My daddy said it. So I thought that was the right way. I had to relearn that kind of stuff, man. I had to relearn and back up. I had to, and when you learn something from your people, you learn like my dad. It was hard for me to get it out. I'm talking about saved and sanctified for years. Finally got a real minister's license the right way. I got it the right way. And still in the back of my mind, would be ready to fight if you said the wrong thing. Couldn't get it out of me, man. I couldn't get that thing out of me because I just wanted to be. And I would ask God to remove it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, you got to take this thing from me. Yeah. This was a stronghold in my life. It said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down these strongholds. But see, I didn't want to fast. I'm a fat boy. I like to eat. I didn't want to do the things it took to get these things out of me. He said, "Some will come out by prayer and fasting." But see, I wanted to hold on to it. I mean, it was times I just really wanted to, even I'm talking about saved, I wanted to do some stupid things, but I wanted to put my fist on somebody, man, I just grab him by his neck. Because I'm not smoked out now. I'm 250 strong. Ready to go. God had allowed, he allowed me, and I still believe this with all my heart. I didn't come to say this tonight. Now this is where it's coming from. But that's what happened when my hand got crushed. September 24th. I was angry that day at somebody at work. And I said, "Man, I was angry and said, thinking crazy, and I went to help a guy move some stuff, and bam, that thing came down on my hand. The first thing when I looked at my hand, this finger was about that long and turned sideways. This finger here was laying back like that. And I'm looking at them all busted open and everything. And the first thing came to me, it wasn't going to the hospital. It wasn't doing prayer to God. The God of my understanding, God told me, make a fist. Uh-huh. Make a fist.
Yeah.
I tried to make a fist and wouldn't have a finger move. Would not one finger on my hand move. So I grabbed my wrist and I tried to make a fist and would not one finger move. I did not have the use of any finger on my hand. And God said, you don't need a fist. He said, you're a leader, but you don't got to lead with your fist no more. That day is over. He began to teach me how to fight in the right way. I began to learn what are these weapons of his warfare. What are these things I need to be using other than that? Because I can't, today my hand's better. I still can't make a fist. There it is. All the fists I got in that right hand. Now it's getting better. It's getting better. But that's all I got in that right hand. I don't have to do that no more. The Lord fights my battles for me. He takes care of me. He looks out for me. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to pretend. Where you are is where you are. I'm telling you, where you are is where you are. You are right where you need to be. You are right where you need to be at this time. And I remember hearing women say, oh, I'm trying to get my kids back, and I wish they'd give me my kids back. And I think to myself, when I was early on, before I was saved, I used to sympathize with them. Today I empathize with them, but I don't sympathize. I thought about that. I said, wait a minute, they ought to get that girl her kids, they something else. Wait a minute, you don't have a place to live. You ain't got a job. Them kids are going to be a form of frustration to you. Them kids are going to take you to a place worse than you came from. Let the Lord watch over your kids and keep them until you are able to get where you need to be. Yeah, you will get your kids back. Yeah, you are. I used to want to make, Lord, I wish I had this much money. I wish I had a job doing this thing. And every nickel I had, I smoked dope. So I was one of them dope fiends. If I had a $20 bill, I'm giving the whole $20 bill to the dope man. I would leave the car out of gas on the side of the road to get that $20 rock. I was too stingy to buy a lighter. I had to go borrow somebody's lighter because I was that kind of guy. So what I need to be making $20 again for? What am I gonna do with it? I had to learn to walk in my deliverance. I had to get to the point where I was ready for some things. I wasn't always ready for some things. I needed, my parole officer and I became the best of friends. We would go places together. We would go to Bible study together. We would go to men's group. We would go eat. And you know what? I wouldn't have cared if I was still on parole today. I've been off parole for years. It wouldn't bother me because I'm doing what I need to be doing in the first place. He can come by in the morning. He can come by in the evening because there's not a liar living in my house anymore. There's not a thief that lives in my house anymore. But when I wasn't ready for those things, I was okay with where I was at because I knew God. I had to learn to be grateful. So I was ungrateful about living in my sister's house. See, I could have been ungrateful about living in my sister's house, but I wasn't because I was grateful because I was no longer on the park bench. I was no longer in the streets wondering where I could go. I was no longer sitting in dope houses at night, high as a kite, scared to death, scared to leave, and scared to stay. What other option is it? And see, and God got a good sense of humor. God got a heck of a sense of humor with people like me because he knew that deep inside when I'm that dope, I was not just a coward, I was a coward's coward. Yeah. So I'd come outside and every dope house I'd come out and had these high hedge bushes, seemed like. I'd be thinking to myself, they wasn't out there when I went in here. I walked on that sidewalk past that hedge bush and I'm peeking around the hedge bush like I'm coming out like this, I'm peeking around the hedge bush before I get around there, and about that time God would make the wind blow the cabin glue. I'm scared to death. Scared to death. But then when God began to deliver me, I act like I'm so good or too good to understand some truth. I act like I'm too good to be honest about where I'm at today. So I'm grateful I'm not doing that no more. So I'm grateful when somebody knock on my door today. And I didn't say my sister's door. I didn't say my father's door. I didn't say my mother's door. I didn't say some girlfriend's door. See, because a lot of years I prostituted myself out to some girl to have a place to live. I ain't doing that today. I pay my own rent today. My name said, the name of my lease is Lyle Kelso. And after Lyle Kelso says, nothing follows. That's my place. And I thank God for that, and I'm grateful for that. In Narcotics Anonymous, they say a grateful addict won't use. A grateful addict won't use. Amen. So I'm grateful for the things I got. Amen. So I'm grateful that I get to go to work. I don't have to go to work. I get to go to work. I'm going to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. At 6:30, I'm sitting in the break room. Some days I got 2 dozen or 2.5 dozen donuts to pass out to the crew because I'm grateful.
Yes.
I'm grateful that today running out of gas or what's for dinner is no longer a problem in my life. I can fill my car up any day. I was talking to my brother Marvin the other day. He said, I'm used to having maintenance money now, Marvin. Yeah, I'm used to not just having my bills paid, but I have maintenance money. If I want to stop and fill my car up, I can fill my car up. When my car runs on, get a flat tire, I ain't got to call nobody. I got a roadside assistance. I set my car and dial that number. Hey, all I get, I'm changing myself. But I'm saying that because I quit pretending. I quit pretending that I was a Christian. I quit being a Christian around people just so I could look a certain way and have no power. I didn't want to be a man going to church with no power, a weak wizard, going to church with that watered-down version of the gospel because I felt like I had memorized scripture. I could quote scripture after scripture after scripture, but I couldn't live a nickel worth of nothing. See, because I had to understand that memorization does not mean authorization. I'm going to repeat that because that's the title of this sermon. If it has to be a title, memorization does not mean authorization. Now, I'm going to close with this story. Let me go to it. Hello. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, Exodus, took upon them to crawl over them, which I haven't got to read it because I know it. There was a vagabond Jews that had watched Paul do his thing in the name of Jesus. They had watched him do his thing. Did you hear what I said? In the name of Jesus, because it wasn't Paul's thing. It was Jesus' thing all the time. It's not Lyle's thing. It's Jesus' thing all the time. But these people had watched him do it, and they had watched good. They had memorized. Like you watch church on TV. They got the dance. They got the dance now like we got it. They got the dance. They got the shout. They got the song, but they don't have what we have inside. And these Jews saw what he was doing. The seven sons of Sceva. So they decided, we're going to do the same thing. And they went out to cast out a demon out of a man. They went up there. I can see them now. Hollering and screaming and going on and jumping around and kicking and snot running and tears running. Didn't have no power. They memorized what was said. They could go right through the ritual. They had memorized it. But see, memorization does not mean authorization. So they began to memorize that mess. And they began to say it. And when they got through saying what they were saying, the demon and the man spoke out and said, wait a minute. The demon said, Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you? And the word of God said the demon jumped out the man that jumped on them. He jumped on them seven dudes and beat them bloody and naked, running about the place. That's why some of us have been beaten bloody and naked in our finances. That's why some of us are being beaten bloody and wrecked in our family, getting our families and trying to prosper down there, always having problems with the community corrections, always problems relapsing, always having problems in our relationships because we're coming at it with a memorization and not authorization. You were not authorized to be in them places of them things in the first place.
Jesus.
We have to understand that my life has been bought with a price. Anything I decide to do, I got to go through Jesus first. There's a lot of things I desire and I think I won't, but I got to go through Jesus first. I sat there and talked to Marvin about a woman who I loved. And I wanted to be with this woman. I wanted to be with her. She had everything I thought I needed in a woman. But she wasn't ready, nor was I. But I was going to walk that thing out anyway because, you know, as an old, that old addict in me wanted to come back around and say, you know, you can fix, manage, and control some stuff. And man, it took me through the ringer. For a solid year, I was miserable. I was miserable. Because today I understand if God don't give it to me, then I don't want it. And I don't have to make up where I'm at today. I had to sit around Narcotics Anonymous and lie about my clean date. Hi, yesterday. Yeah. Tell everybody I'm doing okay. Getting my 30-day chip. Hi, right now with a rock in my pocket. All that mess, man. Come up, tell her, and be right in the room with the mentors. Be right in the room with the men and women of God. Don't have enough presence of mind to ask them, how did you get what you got? That reminds me, I've been to stop here, but I gotta say one more thing. That reminds me of the guy when Peter and John were headed up to the gate called Beautiful, about the ninth hour, the Bible says. And there was a man laid outside the gate. They brought the man there, as they said, Bob, every day. I can't remember how many years now, but they say they brought the man there every day. Every day he would come there and beg for money. He would come there and beg for alms. You know why he went there and begged Mick for money? Because he knew the people inside the temple were blessed people. He knew the people inside the temple had more than enough, Pam. And it was only thing to me to be who me to say, wait a minute. If they got more than enough, why am I laying out here begging? Why don't I go into the temple and get some myself? Why don't I go into the temple? He didn't have enough sense for that. But until they walked by him and he looked at him begging for alms, and Peter said, put your eyes up on us. The man looked up at him, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. He said, get up in the name of Jesus of Nazareth and walk. And the Bible said, the next verse is most important to me, he said he reached down his right hand and he helped him up. Ain't nothing wrong with helping somebody up. And ain't nothing wrong with you reaching up in somebody's hand to get up. Somebody here tonight is going to leave here worried with problems, with things, situations in their life. You got mentors here that can lead you the right way, can help you pray some of these things off you, but you won't say a thing, you'll take it right back home. But the Bible said that man got up, leaping and praising. And you know what he did? He followed him into the temple. Let's pray.